بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. We are discussing the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final illness and thereafter the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The last time the section we read was the good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The riwayat of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say 3 days prior to his demise. 3 days prior to his demise. Monday was the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying, لا يموتن لأحدكم إلا وهو يحسن بالله ظن. None of you should pass away except while he is in the condition where he entertains good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of you should pass away except while he is in the condition where he entertains good thoughts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another riwayat is also that a person will pass away as he lived this life. And you will be raised as you have passed away. So what condition, what was in the heart at that time, what amal you engaged in. So accordingly, that's how you'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah. There's no كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كُفَّارُ سَيَّ اللَّهِ فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً If only there was return for us, if only we could come back, then we bring real iman in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But there's no returning. So this having good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very important. And how to have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some ulama say, that all du'as are accepted until you think Allah, until you say that Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept my du'as, then your du'as get rejected. Person says, my du'as are getting accepted, then you get rejected. As long as you have good thoughts, Allah Ta'ala will accept it, it's accepted. Allah will accept your du'as. Therefore, to always have good thoughts of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Person has good thoughts of Allah, he'll never suffer depression. And in regards to the makhluk also, always having good thoughts, and that comes now when the person amal is good. And the heart is pure and clean. Person's thoughts are pure and clean. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advising his ummah in a compassionate manner that they should continue striving to do good actions until the hour of death. Then obviously, we can have good thoughts of Allah. But if a person involved in sin, then automatically by default, what is going to think? Ya Allah, if I have to pass away now, I'm going to get punished. He's always got this thought, if I get caught now, if I have to pass away now, what will happen to me now? Then you can't have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advising his ummah in a compassionate manner that they should continue striving to do good actions until the hour of death arrives, so that at that crucial moment they may have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also encouraging his ummah to hasten in seeking Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, so that when their final moment approaches, which should be the most joyous moment of their lives, they are not overcome with thoughts of them being punished on account of their wrongdoings. This is very, very important also. So indirectly, this was encouragement to the ummah to continue striving and continue making tawbah. No person now will be 100%. Every day we come to the end after Isha Salah, thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Ya Allah, we came to the end with Iman, Alhamdulillah. Isha Salah is over, we got our Salah with Jama'ah. And thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Ya Allah, we weren't deserving of this day. Alhamdulillah, الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. All these du'as we learned from our honorable Sheikh, these 5 du'as to thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we can do this every night. After Isha Salah, we're thanking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Ya Allah, we weren't deserving of this. You made it possible. Ya Allah, you made it possible for us to reach the masjid. Remember, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wants us to get to the masjid. If we didn't make it, it wasn't the fault of Allah. It was my fault. I wasn't committed to get to the house of Allah. No one can be more busier than as Nabi Ali Salatu Salam was. Busy with the Ummah. Dispatching Jama'at, receiving all the time, intelligence, and all the jihad were taking place in Makkah Mukarramah, under threat over there, insecurity, things are volatile. So nobody can be more busy than Nabi Ali Salatu Salam or Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But under all conditions, Salah was the most important thing to them. So no matter what, whether it's now season, December time, too busy. Remember, Rozi is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nobody can say that Allah Ta'ala's rozi made me so busy that I couldn't put my head down to Allah Ta'ala at the time He wanted me. That's not an objection against Allah. Allah, you kept me so busy with my rozi. So much you gave now that I go to make sajda to you also. That's dhoka, deception. وَلَا يَغُرُّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ Quran says, let not dunya deceive you and gharur shaitan too. Don't let shaitan deceive you. Allah is the sustainer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the condition of the heart. If you have good thoughts of Allah, ya Allah, I'll be there in the masjid. No matter what. As somebody asked for Salim Dwarat also, I don't get time for Quran tilawat. He says, not you don't get time. Is that important? The Quran is important, that's why. Not that you don't get time. Is that important? Eating is important. But the wife will tell you, what time you'll be home for supper? Gotta be there home for supper. Even if you're busy also, okay, I'll make a plan, I'll come away. I'll have a quick sandwich also, whatever it may be, then I'll go back to work. But that's important. Toilet, important. But Quran, if I get time, then maybe I'll read it. My night surahs also, if I get time. Now if you're not doing it, how are we going to have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Little bit we have to do every day. The basic minimum we have to do. Quran, tilawat daily. Our night surah, surah Waqiyah, surah Tabarak, alif lam mim sajda. All this Yasin in the morning, Yasin Sharif. Some Quran tilawat. Then automatically, Banda will have some hope in his heart or some goodness from Allah. But if he's not doing it already, he can feel in the heart, you know what hope can I have now? But if I read my Quran every day, my salah also is not even correct. So how can I have any good thoughts of Allah? So little bit we have to strive, make some mujahada. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also encouraging his ummah to hasten in seeking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's forgiveness so that when the final moment approaches, which should be the most joyous moment of their lives. This is also Ajim Mawlana Magda Sahib mentioned when he comes to Maut. Maut is something a believer should die for. He should love Maut. Reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says nobody dislikes Maut. As you might think, I don't like Maut. He says, but when you hear somebody pass you on a Friday, what do you say? I hope I die like that. He's making dua for. He's making dua for Maut. See, it shows that we're not that we dislike it. We know we have to go. What a Maut he had in the Mataf, Rosa Mubarak, Medina Munawwara, ya Allah, give me Maut also like that. He says, what we don't like is that to leave behind the family. Separation. Separation we dislike. But Maut, you know, shall I go to a better place? As if now our amal are good. But it's a joyous moment of our lives. So that they are not overcome with thoughts of them being punishment on account of their wrongdoings. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, when the sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam intensified, I returned to Madinatul Munawwara together with others from my army. Remember, they weren't dispatched as yet. That army was already stationed outside Madina Munawwara. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would always say, Nafidh Jaisha Usama. They'd execute and let the Jaish and the army Usama continue. Let them move. Let them move on. So he said, I came back with a few of Saatis of the army to visit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I then entered the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and due to the severity of his illness at that time, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was unable to speak. Seeing me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to raise his blessed hands towards the sky, making dua. Thereafter, bringing them down on me, possibly rubbing him with his hands, to which I understood that he was making dua for me. Then glad tidings to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Remember all these things, to make wasiyat, and then to make dua. As we mentioned, as a person lives his life, this is how he will leave this world. Person had these habits in his lifetime, this will be his habit now also. These things at the time of maut, when the illness intensifies, you're not in your frame of mind. So what? Those habits of yours that have become ibadat. Those adat have become ibadat. Now the last moments also, automatically that will come to the fore. How you're performing, like how many a times you hear that the person was passing away, and they're telling him, by paro la ilaha, la ilaha, la ilaha. Only thing he was saying was, do paisa, do paisa, do paisa, do paisa. Like how we say, gena pagati, gena pagati. Come inside, in Dali, the sail on, all day. The recording is playing, LP is playing. This person also whole life was do paisa, 2 rupees, 2 rupees, 2 paisa, come inside, come inside, come inside. That thing came into the heart also. Now you know the whole we checking bank balance, bank account, EFT, this way, that way, whole day. That's why when we see it also, thank Allah. Allah, it came from you. Allah, it came from you. How many things today, nowadays is happening in our life, but we just disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes even hearing some news, what happened in Sham, what's happening in Syria, how many prisoners, how many were shaheed, how many passed away, how many in Gaza also. We're just reading it. 30 killed, 40 martyred, so many children, we just read it. They say, hey, 40 babies were killed. Nobody says, inna lillahi wa inna. We're just reading. As I said, it becomes a news item. This became a news item, pass it on. Or just, what's the next report? What's the next report? But there's nothing from the heart coming out. No dua also coming out. So when this becomes a habit, then the time of more the same thing will pass away as you lived your life. As you lived your Yusuf Sahib, Rahimullah, the second Amir of Tabligh would say also, the person who made his life, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلَ مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Then whose speech can be better than that person who calls towards Allah? His speech is the best, Allah is saying. His speech is the best. If his speech is the best, he's the best person also. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, he does good deeds. When he gives da'wat, then a'mal will come into his life, but then he mustn't become too big. What he says, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي, I'm just a simple Muslim. Nothing else. So here Hazrat Ji will say, Rahmatullah Ali, Mala Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, the person who makes this fikr every day, how this deen can come into my life, and how this deen can come into entire humanity. That's why when we give Fajr Namaz, when we give Fajr Namaz, whether we are walking, whether we are driving, have some fikr in the heart. Ya Allah, passing so many Muslim homes, the lights are off, Ya Allah. How can it be? The lights are off, but the fire is burning. The lights are off, but the fire is burning. Ya Allah, how can it be? The house is fast asleep. And Fajr Namaz time is just passing by. How can a Muslim be asleep at Fajr Namaz time? At least a fikr come in the heart. Only Alhamdulillah, I'm happy. I got my Fajr Namaz. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Although it's so early, I'm still making it for Salah. What about so many around me? Allah, they're still asleep. The Ummat is still sleeping. But what is happening in Gaza still? What's happening in Syria still? May Allah, the Ummat is still sleeping. They haven't. They don't get tawfiq to even wake up also. So he says that person who will make this fikr of his every day, and he will call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how deen can come into my life, entire humanity. Then Hazrat Ji used to say, by the qasam of Allah, when that person is about to leave this world, and is mustahab that time to prompt him to say, La ilaha illallah. Don't command him. They don't command the person. He might say, I don't read. Therefore, you make an environment around him. People make a dhikr, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha. So he comes into his tongue. So you say, by the qasam of Allah, that person who makes this effort, that how this kalima can come into my life, completely, entire humanity, he says, when that person will be living in the world, just as this was his daily fikr and duty, instead of people prompting him to say, La ilaha illallah, he'll be giving them da'wat of La ilaha illallah. Like this, he'll leave the world. Because this was his daily fikr. Daily wazifa, he's making a dhikr every day. And then his main morning fikr is there, then gush fikr is there, then majlis fikr is there. Whole life was La ilaha illallah. Now he's leaving the world. So the people telling him, he'll be telling them, by tum kalima paro. You read kalima, like how they say, one pious person also, when he was passing away, it was Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, they say that his entire life, he never laughed. He never laughed his entire life. But at the time of Sakarat and Maud, at that time he burst out laughing. But he was very shocked. How come he laughed at this time? So one of his students saw him in a dream. He said, Hassan, whole life you didn't laugh. Like how you laughed at the time of Maud. What happened? He says, when I was passing away, Shaitan came and told Malukul Maud that be hard on him. He said, I laughed at him. And asked him for what? What did I do? My whole life was checked. But the fazl of Allah, I was so careful every step of my life. Be hard with me for what? Say, like this, I laughed at him and I left this world. That was his level of taqwa and iman. So Usama radiallahu anhu says, at that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him also. Then glad tidings to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned during the final illness, إِنَّهُ لَيُهَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ بَيَادَ كَفِي عَيْشَدَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He says, indeed, it brings me ease and comfort. It brings me ease and comfort that I had seen the fairness. Indeed, it brings me ease and comfort that I had seen the fairness of the palm of Aisha radiallahu anha in Jannah. This was a few days before he passed away. Indeed, it brings me ease and comfort that I had seen the fairness of the palm of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Jannah. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, يَهَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ الْمَوْتَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُكِ زَوْجَتِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the fact that I saw you as my wife in Jannah has made death easy for me. The fact that I saw you as my wife in Jannah has made death easy for me. You can see the amount of muhabbat and compassion between Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Truly, how many are couples now in the home? They don't have the muhabbat also. Wife is making dua, Ya Allah, I hope in Jannah I don't see this man's face. I hope I don't see this man's face in Jannah. And that man is making same dua also. He's making the same dua also. How many of them are saying, really, I want to be your partner in Jannah. But just now want your tkara. Just want to escape, Ya Allah. How long will I carry on with this? Because there's no deen in the home. There's no deen in the home. And what kind of deen also? Very important. Myself, you might think now that we have deen. Well, what is the deen? The deen of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Where the fikr of deen came first. For us, holiday comes first. Going out comes first. So now if she can't go, then she gets upset. Then I can't go, I get upset. It's all about going and doing. The whole thing now, happiness is based upon that. Either we go somewhere, or we're eating something, or we're doing something. It's all based on pure deen. Everything is about what's happening around us. That's happening between us, between the us, where it's based upon the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What great glad tidings for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, apart from the glad tidings of her being in Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has guaranteed that she will also be his wife in Jannah. This means that even after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she will continue to live her life in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is glad tidings for Aisha. Even after I am gone, you will still live a jannati life in this world. Meaning, that your destiny will always be jannat. So Allah ta'ala will keep you in such a condition of obedience to Him that you will earn your jannat also. That she will continue to live her life in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she will pass away having secured the pleasure and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, the deep love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha can be gauged from the fact that seeing her in Jannah was a means of death becoming easy for him. This is how a married couple should be. They should, and where he passed away also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on her lap. Considering that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perceived comfort from knowing that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would be with him in Jannah, we can imagine how pleased he was with her. How pleased he was with her. This can only happen when a wife conducts herself correctly and keeps her husband happy. Unlike one person we heard, every time he couldn't manage the wife, he go check in 2 weeks at the hospital. I need a break a little bit. And when the wife is to come, he's like more sick. Like he's on his way out. So she's taking pity on him. Bichara is going now. And when she's gone, then it's back to normal again. So they will take a break. So some sympathy comes in our heart for him. But look at this now. That when a wife will conduct herself correctly and please the husband, obviously, du'as will come out. And remember, as Hazrat Wala teaches us also, he says, therefore the wife to understand also, for my husband to get his Jannah, allow him to make his mother's khidmat. And for me to get my Jannah, I'll make his khidmat. So life becomes very easy. And also, the fourth point of ikram. Ikram means forego your right. Don't demand your right. You see, when you overlook your right and fulfill the rights of all those around you, without demanding yours, then automatically they will fulfill your rights. It must happen like that. You don't have to demand it. Fulfill their rights to the best of your ability, and automatically Allah will put in their heart to fulfill your rights. Today the whole dunya is shouting for my rights, democracy. Where there is workers and they got these, where they signed off? They have these unions. Right? On our rights. Yes, zulm is taking place, is different now. But everybody is shouting for their rights. Otherwise, if a husband is displeased and frustrated with his wife, he will think, I'm stuck with her. Look what he say, I'm stuck with her. I hope I won't be stuck with her there as well. So, he will think like this. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "Oh Ahmad, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you out of honor and regard for you, and exclusively for you, is asking regarding the which he is more aware of than yourself, is asking you how are you feeling." This was 3 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This one point also before this, as we mentioned about husband and wife, and the husband displeased with the wife and frustrated, then he'll say, "I don't want to be stuck with her." So this also we hear commonly between the couples, but he doesn't treat me well. So then that's why we're saying, forgo your right. Even the husband not treating me properly, I still now make his khidmah for the pleasure of Allah. The wife also, she's a bit snappy, she's a bit moody, which is normal. Allah made them like that. Then to be overlooked that. We overlook that and still fulfill the haqq of the wife because it is a command of Allah. Now, most of what you are doing in marriage is not because of the command of Allah. If she's good to me, then I'm good to her. If he's good to me, then I'm good to him. That's how it works. That's why they call it tu-tu, me-me. You, me-me. And now the fight is on. It is not that. First you are a regarder, first she is the slave of Allah. My husband also belongs to Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala gave him to me, so I will take care of him. I will respect him. Allah Ta'ala gave her to me. It's an amanat. Therefore I will take care of it. Like how we take care of all other amanats and trusts. So she's also an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you really look at it, couples married 25, 30 years. 25, 30, 35 years they are married. And then to still we can't behave. Still fighting. I think two adults, still fighting, can't behave. Golf. And then who suffers at the end of the day? Are the children. Are the masoom children, they get a raw deal because two adults can't get along. Two adults can't, like, understand what I'm saying? They can't get along. Why people can't get along? Because of ego and pride. Ego and pride. Somebody, one of them has to be a bit cheeky, one will be snappy, one will be moody, whatever it is. We overlook. Overlook one another. Now we take everything to heart. Everything to heart. Everything to heart. Which marriage will last? Nobody is a farishta. Yes, a person now is wayward, is out. Ulama say now really, this marriage is a challenge. Then it's different thereafter. So coming back to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. 3 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Ahmad, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you out of honor and regard for you, and exclusively for you. Allah is asking regarding that which He is more aware of than yourself. He is asking you, how are you feeling?" Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "I find myself, O Jibreel, concerned." Concerned, the natural concern a person undergoes is such a condition which is not contrary to being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person when is ill, usually we hear, don't complain, it's not good to complain. So they say that to feel concerned about your health and not to complain but to tell others, "I'm not feeling well, I'm not feeling." Now, sometimes we feel a very high level of taqwa means don't even tell people you're feeling sick. Alright, in hospital maybe. People came, "How you feel? Alhamdulillah, everything's fine. Alhamdulillah." But you're sick, you're ill right now. Now we think now to tell the person that I am feeling sick, I'm not feeling good. There's no problem with that, with the intention to ask for du'as. That's absolutely permissible, and this is how you express yourself also. You're not complaining, it's not a complaint. That you're expressing really what you are feeling, so the person makes du'a for you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "I am concerned." On the second day, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam again came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the same conversation ensued. On the third day, the same thing happened. However, this time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, I find myself concerned and grieved, O Jibreel. On this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended together with an angel who is in charge of 70,000 angels. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, O Ahmad, this is the angel of death, seeking permission to enter. This was on the third day. On this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended together with an angel who is in charge of 70,000 angels. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, O Ahmad, this is the angel of death, seeking permission to enter. He has never sought permission from anyone before you, nor will he seek permission from anyone after you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then permitted him to enter after securing the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On entering, he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Ahmad, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you, and Allah has commanded me to obey you in whatever you instruct me. This is the beloved of Allah. We all this is happening right there, the Rawdah, next to the Rawdah, in the Mubarak room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah has sent me to you, and He has commanded me to obey you in whatever you instruct me. If you instruct me to extract your ruh, your soul, I will extract it. And if you instruct me to leave it, I will leave it. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is desirous of meeting you. Allah, but this is al-Rafiq wal-A'la, the higher companion, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O angel of death, proceed with what you have been commanded. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then said, peace be upon you, ya Rasulullah. This is the end of my treading upon the earth. This is the last time I have come now. You were the only need that I had on earth. It was because of you, I was dispatched to come to this earth. Shall we continue next week, inshallah? Next week we'll continue from the final day, raising the curtain. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.